Support for Today Explained comes from BetterHelp. What do you do when your social battery is drained? Do you push through and silently resent your friends? I'm laughing because maybe. Or maybe just scream into a pillow all night. I don't do that. But if you do, that's fine. Not judging you. Therapy can help you build more awareness of what you need and when. BetterHelp offers affordable online therapy with licensed professionals. Scheduling is convenient and finding a therapist suited to your style is quick and easy. You can find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. You can visit betterhelp.com/explained today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/explained.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
It's Today Explained. I'm Noelle King. We're going to get caught up on a story that's been developing in Texas. It starts with the state's attorney general. A couple weeks ago, Ken Paxton wrote a legal opinion about transgender children and the medical care that some of them receive,
saying the gender reassignment surgeries and the use of drugs like puberty blockers can legally constitute child abuse.
4 days later, Governor Greg Abbott directed the Texas Department of Family and Protective Services to investigate the parents of trans kids who are getting what's known as gender-affirming care. Now, the big question was, would an agency whose stated mission is to protect children from abuse follow the governor's order and investigate parents who are getting them care? We called Lauren McGaughey. She's an investigative reporter with the Dallas Morning News. She covers government accountability, criminal justice, and LGBTQ issues.
Our early reports are that several parents of transgender children have been visited by Child Protective Services and have been questioned. It's unclear at this time whether there's been any further action. We have not heard about a child being taken. We have not heard of that happening, but several parents have been and are being actively investigated, according to those parents.
Lauren, can you walk us through how this works? Let's say that I'm a parent and I believe my child needs gender-affirming care. What does that term actually mean? What does it entail?
Most people under the age of 18 who are dealing with gender dysphoria, who believe that they are transgender, will receive only counseling. So a parent and a child will go to their doctor. They'll talk about what the appropriate kind of care might be. And most children who are dealing with this receive talk therapy, what you or I might do if we needed to talk to someone, go to a therapist. The next step is, or can be, social transition, which is starting to live in their own gender. This could look like introducing themselves by a different name, different pronoun, or dressing differently. Among other treatments is receiving some kind of a medical treatment like puberty blockers or hormone therapy. And those create mostly reversible changes in a minor's body. This could be something like a voice might get deeper or someone might grow more hair or less hair because they're on hormone therapy. The misinformation around gender-affirming care for trans kids that you'll hear a lot from Republican politicians is that they say that people are being castrated, that there are actual surgeries happening on children. And, you know, that's a scare tactic. The WPATH, which is the World Professional Association for Transgender Health, says that surgery is not recommended until a patient has reached the legal age of maturity to give consent for something like that and has lived continuously for a year in their gender role.
So let's talk a bit about hormone therapy. My understanding, based on what you said, is let's say a child who has not yet gone through puberty says, I am transgender, I'm not a boy, I'm a girl. A doctor might give that child puberty blockers in order to prevent that child from maturing into a gender that that child believes is not their gender. Is that essentially how it works?
Yes. So puberty suppressants are drugs that cause a temporary pause in someone's puberty by blocking sex hormones like testosterone or estrogen. This was created originally for kids that were having really early onset puberty, but weren't trans. So this was a type of treatment that was already being used for some children.
Oh.
So it was being used in other children that were experiencing early onset puberty. Puberty suppressants are also reversible, which means that when you stop taking them, the puberty will restart and continue at a normal rate. So some adolescents, in collaboration with their support team and treatment team, might begin to pursue hormone therapy. And hormone therapy is really, it's different for every person. It's mostly reversible for many people, but it really depends on what kind of hormones they're taking and how early they take those hormones. So there's varying research on that. You know, there are indications that hormone therapy may have an effect on long-term fertility, especially if it started at a very young age. But again, these are conversations and research that's happening now, and we're only really starting to have a good understanding of how this affects people long term.
Is gender-affirming care beyond just talk therapy difficult to get? Does a child walk into the doctor and say, I was born the wrong gender, I want to be a boy, I am not a girl, and then immediately get hormones or puberty blockers?
There are not many doctors who consider this a specialty of theirs. And so if a parent is dealing specifically with this, their best case for having the full range of options open to them is to go to a doctor that considers this a specialty. Here in Texas, with these new threats against this care from some of the most powerful politicians in the state, there are concerns that doctors will not be willing to provide that care, provide those options if they're concerned that they may be targeted. We've received emails from parents of transgender children who are very frightened. We've heard already reports of families with transgender children leaving the state, moving away because they are concerned about being targeted.
Is the idea that a doctor would tell on me, the parent, a teacher would tell on me? Who is reporting me in this scenario?
So, you know, oftentimes individuals who report allegations of child abuse, their identities are not public. But individuals like teachers are required under state law to report allegations of child abuse. So there is a concern that certain teachers might feel pressured to tell CPS that they are aware of a transgender child that they're connected to who is receiving gender-affirming care. I'm not saying that that's what teachers are going to do, but they may feel some pressure given that they are statutorily required to report child abuse. Doctors as well.
There's an interesting thing that's happened here. The doctors are the ones who prescribe puberty blockers to a child, and yet the governor is saying, investigate the parents. Although I imagine there are plenty of people who don't think any investigation is warranted here, why target parents and not doctors?
Well, I think last year, lawmakers tried to pass a bill that would have changed the definition of child abuse to include this care. They did not succeed. And so a lot of political watchers are looking at the governor's order and the attorney general's opinion as an end run around that failure. This is a way through more of an administrative action, through state agency actions, to try to target gender-affirming care for transgender kids. And CPS, Child Protective Services, their most direct connection is with the parent. What's interesting is doctors, some doctors are already pushing back and saying that as a doctor, they are also required under law to report child abuse, but they believe that gender-affirming care is appropriate for trans kids, and they don't think that it's child abuse. So reporting that actually violates their ethical obligation to do the best for their patient.
This is not yet a law. Could it become a law?
It could.
It could.
It could. The legislature meets again in 2023. If lawmakers wanted, they could try to change the law and put this directly into statute. Or if it goes into the courts and finishes up in court, the court could also come down and decide whether this is truly child abuse or not. So those are the only two ways that will actually have a real ending, a real outcome to this argument, is through the courts or through the state legislature.
The ACLU and Lambda Legal sued immediately. And then yesterday there was another development. A district court judge in Travis County granted a restraining order. So for now, the investigations will stop. Although it's certainly not clear whether that's going to ease the minds of parents and kids who could be affected by this. But what does the lawsuit say?
So Lambda Legal and the ACLU of Texas went to court in Travis County to try to stop an investigation into a Child Protective Services employee. So an employee who works for the Department of Family and Protective Services, which is the umbrella agency over CPS, has a transgender child. And that employee was put on administrative leave, according to the lawsuit, and is now suing because of this particular policy.
My goodness. So one of the first people targeted by this is a person who is employed by the agency that has been directed to do the investigations?
That's correct.
Wow. How are people in Texas viewing this order?
There are some individuals on the very conservative side that agree that gender-affirming care for trans kids should be defined as abuse. And then there's a lot of people who have transgender children or know a trans kid who thinks that this care is absolutely vital and life-saving. What I think is important to note is politics is going to be divisive. There's always going to be people on either end of an issue, especially one like this. But the medical community, they all support appropriate care for transgender children, including puberty blockers and hormone treatments. So in addition to the AMA, the APA, all of the national groups, the groups in Texas whose job is to determine what care is appropriate for people all support age-appropriate gender-affirming care for trans children.
Support for Today Explained comes from Mint Mobile, the only cell phone that tastes good. When the deal is too good to be true, there's probably a catch, right? That incredibly cheap flight to Europe? You probably can't bring a bag or pick your seat or use the restroom. So when I tell you that Mint Mobile offers wireless plans for just $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, you're probably wondering, what's the catch? Well, according to Mint Mobile, there is no catch. According to Mint Mobile, it's only $15 a month, and their plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, you can go to mintmobile.com/explained. That is mintmobile.com/explained. You can cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/explained. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Support
Support for Today Explained comes from Indeed. Hiring can be difficult. You can hope and pray and ruminate on how to find the perfect candidate, or you can turn to something more reliable, a smart piece of technology like Indeed's matching engine. According to Indeed, that matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences for job candidates, so it becomes more accurate over time. The more you use it, the better it gets. Indeed also lets you ditch some of the busy work, scheduling, screening, messaging. According to Indeed data, they have over 350 million global monthly visitors. They also did a survey that showed 93% of employers agree that Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. Listeners of Today Explained will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Today Explained. You can go to Indeed.com/Today Explained. Let them know you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Today Explained. Terms and conditions do apply. Need to hire? Asks Indeed. You need Indeed.
Lauren McGaughey, investigative reporter with the Dallas Morning News. A thing I have been very curious about. When did lawmakers in Texas begin to train their attention on transgender children and on writing laws that would affect them? And I ask because it would seem that this is a very small population, and yet lawmakers almost seem fixated on trans issues. Was there a big bang moment when suddenly you noticed this as a reporter becoming an issue?
There was.
A huge cheer, then singing as the decision reaches the crowd out front.
The Supreme Court case legalizing gay marriage across the nation.
The historic ruling struck down the bans on same-sex marriage still in effect in 14 states, all of them in the South and the Midwest.
At that point, you know, many conservative politicians, conservative legal scholars believed that they had lost on the gay marriage issue. And so the attention was redirected towards the trans community. After that gay marriage ruling, we saw legislatures in states like Texas trying to pass the bathroom bills. Remember that whole fight several years ago?
State Representative Ron Simmons authored a House version requiring public school students to use the bathroom of the gender on their birth certificate.
This is legislation that would have blocked trans people from using the bathrooms that conform to their gender identity.
How do you balance someone's right as a transgender child or person with the rights of other people that say, you know what, I respect that and I don't want to degrade that, but I also don't want my children sharing changing rooms and locker rooms with people of the opposite biological sex.
In Texas, there was a huge fight over the bathroom bills. They failed. They were not passed. And after that failure, we saw a shift in attention to trans kids. The first bills that were kind of the primary focus were the trans sports bills.
The Texas Senate has passed a bill restricting transgender youth from playing on sports teams consistent with their gender identity.
And then more recently, we've seen this attention on access to healthcare for trans kids. So there has been this focus on the trans community for several years now, and more recently it's come, the focus has shown a lot more brightly on trans kids.
It seems to me, and tell me if I'm wrong, has this become one of those issues that in practice affects very few people and is a very personal thing between and among families, children, parents, their loved ones? But it seems as if it's been made into a political issue that almost everybody feels as though they have to have an opinion on?
I can agree with that. I mean, it's a litmus test issue. You know, 10, 15, 20 years ago, the litmus test issue might have been gay rights, might have been gay marriage. Now, the issue is the rights of transgender people and even more minutely, the rights of trans kids and the parents of trans kids. While it does affect technically a small number of people, we have to remember that for every trans kid, there's a guardian, there are siblings, there's an extended family, there are teachers, there are friends. And so the ripple effects for who, you know, might be emotionally affected by an issue like this go far beyond the trans person themselves. But yes, the most dire consequences of targets like this do fall on that individual. And it does happen to be, you know, a very, very small number of people having to deal with this burden.
Do you think this attempt by Governor Abbott and by other Republican legislators, do you think that healthcare for trans youth is going to continue to be something that Texans will hear about and will see litigated and will have to have opinions on almost certainly because it is in front of them all the time?
Well, that's a good question. We will know in the future. Tuesday, March 1st was Election Day in Texas, primary Election Day. And Governor Abbott won his primary campaign outright. He's not going into a runoff. Political observers in Texas believe that this issue of healthcare for trans youth became such a flashpoint because Texas politicians, Republicans, were dealing with their first real competitive GOP primary season in a long time. So we had people like Governor Greg Abbott being pressured by people from within his party to move in a more conservative direction on these issues. Now that Greg Abbott has won his primary, it will be seen whether he continues to aggressively push this issue, pursue it in the courts, and more. While Abbott won his primary, Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton, who actually issued the opinion that this whole thing was based on, did not win his primary outright. He is going into a runoff with another Republican, George P. Bush of the Bush family. And because the Republican primary is now gone to a runoff in at least one of the major statewide races for attorney general, this issue could remain at the top of the political conversation for at least a few more months.
I think there's a temptation to look at Texas and say, that's just Texas. Texas is different in a lot of ways. When you look at Texas from where you sit in Austin, do you look around at the rest of the country and think, this is not just Texas? This could very easily spread beyond Texas to many states in the country.
I do believe that where Texas goes, oftentimes other red states follow. We have seen that with other issues. We have seen Texas kind of set the bar on a conservative issue, and then other states have followed suit, either with what their state legislatures are focusing on or what elected officials focus on. Sometimes I see that coming out of Florida too, kind of Florida and Texas being places to watch. You could say the same for California and New York for liberal policies. You know, where these are huge states, they're very populous, and they lead on these issues.
Lauren McGaughey, investigative reporter with the Dallas Morning News. Thank you so much for taking the time today. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Today's show was produced by Halima Shah with help from Hadi Mawagdi. It was edited by Matthew Collette, engineered by Paul Mounsey, and fact-checked by Laura Bullard. I'm Noel King. Today Explained is part of the Vox Media Podcast Network.
More to-dos, less time, and an infinite number of tools to keep track of. Sometimes doing business has never felt harder, but you don't need a miracle to hit your goals. You can just use HubSpot, because their all-in-one customer platform can make growing your business infinitely easier. Imagine this: high-quality leads, fast closing deals, wildly happy customers, and more benchmark-breaking quarters. It's not a miracle, it's HubSpot. Visit HubSpot.com to get started today.